Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Today on Zero Block 30, we are going to have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, a British soldier is going to jail for 6 months. For you guessed it, purple nurples. If you don't know what purple nurples are, I used to call them titty twisters. Round number two, the Iwo Jima flag raising is one of the most iconic images in not just American history, but in history overall. The people credited for being in that photo recently changed. That changes the legacy of some families. Round number three, there's a lot of aspects that I miss about being in the military, but having to use military bathrooms isn't one. It's not that they aren't clean, they are. It's that the fact that they smell like 15 Marines have been taking tequila shits all day, and that will change your life once that smell enters your nostrils. Round number four, New Zealand's Navy will allow male sailors to wear fake eyelashes, nail polish, and makeup, and I'm jealous as hell because my eyes would have popped even more in dress blues. Round number five, the United States has the second largest nuclear arsenal in the world. We control those bad boys with the greatest technology that the world has ever seen. Just kidding. We are using floppy disk. And all that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at SeatGeek. Guys, I have a huge announcement to make.
It's never sports. I know you're about to mention a play.
What up?
It's not a play. Closer, though. Guess who's coming to San Antonio that I cannot wait to see?
Frozen on Ice.
Close.
Damn it.
Cons.
Ooh. An Aretha Franklin tribute band.
That's actually really close. The correct answer is longtime stoolie Celine Dion.
Oh, yes. Brick by brick, Celine Dion. Yes.
As soon as tickets are announced, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. Hopefully you're not listening, SeatGeek. I'm going to go get another email, sign up for SeatGeek again to use the $10 off, because some idiot posted them on there for $45 a piece.
What?
That's a steal. That's a steal.
It's like below
Celine.
The Ticketmaster price.
That's unbelievable.
You know how SeatGeek, how they'll rate it?
It's
like,
all coming back to me now.
I'm going
to
sing it so loud and so
there's
much.
There's a
you
bar.
Know how they grade the seats before we,
yeah,
they
yeah.
grade the seats?
Right.
It was like a 9.9. And I think that if they would have had like a 50 out of 50, it would have been $45 to go see and $10 off by using my own promo code
I got
for $35.
And that promo code is?
CHAPS.
Promo code CHAPS. Celine Dion on the cheap.
That's going to slap.
We should fly down there for that. You and I
know you guys should go on there to the new email address and use it. But if you never use it, it's really easy. Just go to SeatGeek app in any place that you can find apps and download it on your phone. And in the promo code CHAPS today, you get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. You don't have to just go to Celine Dion or theater stuff, because we also got tickets to Dear Evan Hansen, which should be a lovely show here in San Antonio as well. But it's wherever you live. You can go on the SeatGeek app, use the promo code CHAPS, and you're going to save $10. That's the way we do it.
There's a bar down the shore. At the end of the night, they always play Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, and the entire bar sings it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun.
My dad
used to be
a wedding DJ on the weekends. And
really?
He put the equipment in the garage, and so when it was in the garage, it was right when that movie came out, I would put that song on repeat, and I would roller skate dramatically around the garage. Oh.
You know, there's going to be a certain element of society that isn't going to associate that song with Titanic anymore.
Wild.
They're going to associate it with great sports moments, because that's one of like the more popular things to do is like when Altuve hit that home run.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Clinch, they put that My Heart Will Go On. There's going to be like kids that just view that song as like, oh, your sports team won.
Yeah, the meme song.
Well, rude to bring that up in front of Bren, but that's okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about it at all. Maybe not
us
even
either.
Today on the radio.
Too soon.
Everybody have a good weekend. Cons, your weekends lately have been worse.
Yeah, not great. Not great, Bob. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Army team. Just not winning ball games.
Yeah,
but
not winning ball games.
What are you going to do?
I laid low.
You're going to keep cheering for him.
Yeah,
keep
absolutely. I stand by. I'm very faithful. Some people already want to jump ship. I would never do that. Never do such thing. Always stand behind my team.
Interesting tactic there to jump ship because the Army doesn't have ships.
This is also true.
This is true.
You're basically stranded. Kate, how was your weekend?
It was fine. I laid low. I didn't really do anything. I had one of those days yesterday where I could hear your voice, Chaps, in the background going, like, this is why you're alone. I went to the sculpture park because there's a sculpture park near me. They put in all new sculptures, and the artists are there, so you could talk to them.
Yeah, I saw your stories.
So there was a giant nose.
Where do you even find out about this stuff?
It's just the best. There was a giant meteor that was crushing a Costco shopping cart was one of the sculptures. It was very silly.
Tread lightly.
I know. And there was also, and then I went over to the Queen's Craft Brigade Fair to see all what the local crafters were making.
What was that fucking purse that you found?
It was a werewolf head purse for Halloween. It was the spooky craft fair, so everybody was in costumes, and it was just a treat.
I bet.
I'm surprised that you didn't talk about the big news of the weekend. What were we at with the goat that was going to give birth?
Still nothing. I mean, I think they need to, like, give her a C-section or something. I don't know how that works.
So if you don't follow Kate on social media, she's been watching. If you remember a couple years ago when, what was the giraffe's name?
Oh, yeah, the giraffe that was in labor for, like, a month. And it made people...
Becky? Was it Becky the giraffe?
Something like that. But if you go on YouTube and you look up Goats of Anarchy... It's Goats of Anarchy is an Instagram page I follow where it's a ton of goats on this goat farm. They're all rescued, so they all have like wheels for back legs. It's like the most ridiculous thing. I love it. I mean, sorry for their whatever, but they're having a great life. They're cruising around on these wheels. It's goats. They're the best. So I saw on that Instagram page that one of the goats, Maybelle, was in labor. So I went to the Instagram live.
Maybelle's a fantastic name for a goat.
Great name for a goat. So I zipped over to YouTube immediately, and I was not feeling well Friday night. Mm-hmm. So I just stayed in, and I'm like, hey, if anybody wants to join me, because there's a group chat going next to any YouTube live video. So like 40 stoolies wound up in this goat chat with me, and we were taking bets. We were just chit-chatting about goats. I learned so much about goats.
Yeah.
So
also, one other thing. I watched the Army game on the Barstool Bets live stream. I don't think some people in the office enjoyed watching an Army game with me, Kate being one of them, because I tend to make sounds and cheer loudly and react, and I don't know. It's just
screaming
not some...
right next to another vet. Yeah. Whoa, okay. Sheesh.
Yeah, because she wouldn't be paying attention to the game, and then all of a sudden I let out a shriek or something, and she wasn't expecting it and made her jump out of her seat.
Scary guy to watch a game with.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Many people say obnoxious. I didn't do a whole lot. I watched baseball. I'm kind of glad that the ALCS is over. I didn't want it to go to Game 7, not just because of the fact that the Astros went through, but because I don't like staying up late, man. Like, fucking staying up late several nights in a row watching it. I was like, oh, my God, this is... And then it went into extra innings, or almost went into extra innings. I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. But other than that, just had a normal little family weekend. Wife came in, so we played with the new cat who we renamed Sprinkles.
Like the cat? She's okay with it?
Oh, she loves it because the cat just lays around. You know, you can have cats that fly around the house that are like scratching shit up. We put these little rubber tip nails on her so she can't scratch anything up, and she just lays around like all day. It's great.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get started with the actual show because there's many topics today that I'm actually very, very passionate about. And the first one, probably
nipples.
The most passionate about this one. Yeah. I'm a big, big titty twister guy. Let's hop into round two. Round one.
Round number one, dump them out. Sorry, chaps. But we're talking.
God damn it, Kate.
I know. I'm sorry. It's too soon in the morning for this. Too soon to dump them out. Not until after 4 p.m. We don't dump them out. Nipples, gang. We're talking nipples. As somebody who used to be an avid boogie boarder, I know that sometimes things can get a little rough on the old gals. So this story particularly.
Or the old boys.
Or the old guys, whatever. If you're into boogie boarding, you know the feeling. Those California Camp Pendleton days. But a British soldier across the pond whose job was to train an Irish regiment that guards the royal family has been jailed for 6 months after punching, elbowing, and twisting the nipples of new recruits. Lance Sergeant, sorry, it's so ridiculous. Lance Sergeant Liam Cruz Taylor repeatedly punched recruits while they were on parade, like out in public on the square on parade, once elbowing one in the chest so hard it caused the recruit to buckle over. He then yelled at the recruit to stand up and take it like a man, according to the report. A judge said during the sentencing that Cruz Taylor abused recruits under his watch and continued the abuse in the form of physical violence throughout their training. The attacks took like took place for about a half of a year span. And before this, Cruz Taylor had an exemplary record with more than a decade of service in the Army, including a brutal combat tour to Afghanistan before recruits started putting these allegations forward. So I don't know what's going on in your life.
I like this story because, one, it shows the bias in the media, I think. They tried to frame this like the only thing this dude did was twist nipples. And they put him in jail for 6 months. It's different when you're knocking people out. Like if you're knocking people out, knocking them unconscious, punching them in the belly, elbowing them consistently, that's a lot different than going to jail for 6 months because you did a little titty twister.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you. You know, I have been known to titty twist, to give dead legs, dead arms, wet willies. But I was also 12 years old and not in charge of soldiers at that point in my life. So maybe not the best approach to be physically touching your soldiers despite their actions.
Yeah, it says here that Cruz Taylor would like grab them by the nipples and pull them where he wanted them to go. Like the nipples were like when your aunt grabs you by the ear.
Still, to this day, I've been out of high school since 2001. To this day, I still have tender nipples. My nipples are very, very tender, and it's because of a guy named Derek White. When we were in high school, we used to play a game where you had to whistle. Like, if you grab somebody's titty, you would twist the shit out of it, and you couldn't whistle. If you couldn't whistle, they would never let you go.
That's a great game.
I was never able to whistle. And so I just started to fucking punch Derek in the face whenever he did it to get him to start. He was like my best friend ever. But still, dude, I think twisting somebody's nipples is so unbelievably cruel and mean. I don't mind. I think that it's fine to do oil checks to your Marines or sailors or soldiers.
Maybe not these days. Just a little.
Not everybody, but just occasionally.
With your friends, if it's a thing amongst buddies. But no,
yeah, your peers.
If you're a sergeant
listening,
I wouldn't recommend going.
Please don't do that.
To your Lance Corporal and be like,
oil check. No, it's fine. Just tell him I said it's okay. Just a little oil check. Just a little credit card. Nothing too major. No?
No, I would say we'd probably still frown on those actions in this country as well.
Yeah. Only with your pals.
Maybe your peers, but yeah, definitely not your soldiers or Marines.
Well, apparently this guy's losing some rank, and his attorneys are trying to reinstate him as a Lance Sergeant and suspend his jail sentence, but the judge is not agreeing to those terms. Not great.
I love this idea of this Lance Sergeant sitting around at the smoke pit at the brig and like, what? Like, I'd be like, what are you in for? Fucking murder. What are you in for? Purple nurples.
Purple nurples. Twisted nips.
Kate, did you ever do these sorts of things with your pals growing up?
Dude, no. What?
I don't know. I don't know what girls do. Like, the equivalent of, like, what guys do. These silly little things that you do with your buddies.
I remember wet willies used to be big. I hate those more than anything. It makes my skin crawl. I never did them, but I had been wet willied before, multiple occasions. Pantsing, oddly enough, used to be big.
Imagine pantsing now. What would happen now?
No. But we used to, at our sports practices and stuff, we always had like the sports sweatpants on, right. And like pantsing was huge.
We used to also, and this is looking back on it now, pretty dangerous because you could really smack your head, but we would call it schoolyarding, where you'd get someone to kneel down behind your friend. And then you'd push them so they'd fall back over your buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And also
Pulling chairs out.
Oh, my God. The things we did. The game where you fling the quarter across.
Yes,
on
your knuckles.
Knuckles.
Oh, yes. Yeah, what was knuckles. That game called?
I used to love knuckles, man.
There's people with scars on their knuckles now.
Me, yes.
Yeah. That was a great game.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know. That was a great game.
Well, you know who would be great at these games? Lance Sergeant Cruz Taylor over in the UK. If you want to play some bully yard games, this guy. He's got your...
Did you guys ever do, last little note on this, did you guys ever do the one-up from the wet willy?
What's
that? No, what?
Where you stick your whole finger in your mouth and get it as wet as you can with spit, and then rub it across somebody's upper lip.
I would fucking murder you.
Chaps, the answer to the question...
I would murder you.
The answer to the question is
my
yes.
My mouth's watering with pukey feeling.
Kate looked like she's about to throw up. The smell of somebody else's spit
is the grossest. I can visualize it. It's making me sick.
Oh, I just thought of one more, but it's very disgusting, so I won't say it.
What?
We would do something similar. If you'd fart, you'd put it on your hand and then put it up to your friend's mouth.
Oh, we used to do a cup of tea.
That was like when you do the ass bombing in Mallrats.
Yeah.
Where you stick your hands down your sweaty ass and you shake somebody's hand. And yes. Then their hand smells like your ass all day.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to round two. Jesus Christ.
Hot round. Hot round. We just gave some Lance Corporal out there. Here's like 15 things you can do today.
Jesus Christ, I've never seen so many Indian sunburns and titty twisters in my life. Get a cold towel on that pink belly.
Doctor, we've got another Snuggie here.
Over there. Another wet willy.
Worst one yet.
It's all flamey and spitty.
Give the poor kid some morphine.
Dude, what happened? We told him not to mess with you guys. We told him. You paid us.
Oh, Jesus, you told him that?
Boys, you have to let him rest. Some mean kid gave him a Texas chili bowl.
What's that?
It involves Tabasco sauce, a telephone, and the anus. I don't know what kind of kid would do this to other people. I only know that I wouldn't ever want to be on that kid's bad side.
Round number two comes to us from Sean Wickham at the New Hampshire Union Leader. And we were talking a little bit before this round started about the book Flags of Our Fathers and what a fantastic, incredible story that is, following the guys from the flag raising and that famous photo. So this is pretty interesting. All his life, Rene Gagnon told his children and grandchildren about their proud family heritage. His father and namesake, Rene Gagnon Sr., was one of the U.S. Marines who raised the flag on Iwo Jima in what has become an iconic image of American triumph. A few days ago, Gagnon learned that his father was not one of those men. New evidence in modern technology has determined the man from the photograph actually was Corporal Harold P. Keller, the Marine Corps announced. After a lifetime of having his father celebrated as one of those famous Marines, this was a kick in the teeth, according to Gagnon.
Can you imagine? Because this is something that anyone who's on Iwo Jima, we've had people who've been on the show before. Stanley Rubin was in the Battle of Iwo Jima. Just being there is like you are God tier in the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. Like if you met people for years, they knew that story. I mean, when Kate and I went through boot camp, they talk about this. There's statues of it all over Paris Island. It is one of the things that you talk about. So being one of those four to actually raise the flag is like another level of icon.
Oh, yeah. And that he was, this was his son who was so proud of this and was always telling, you know, it was such a huge part of their family tradition. Your grandfather is in this photo. Look, that's your grandfather. Mm-hmm. And that if you read the book, it followed him closely. And if you saw the movie, it follows him. Gagnon, who lives in Franklin, said he suddenly found himself questioning everything he thought he knew about his father's war experience. It was just a big thing to absorb, he said. Something that I've told my wife, my kids, my grandchildren, that was history. His father, with his movie star good looks, was often asked to speak at different functions and the family would travel with him. A photo of father and son in Life magazine, popular television shows like To Tell the Truth and What's My Line. The whole family was involved in these things. And looking back, he remembers his father sort of avoided a lot of the conversations, he said. There might have been something that I was unaware of, but I've never heard anything like this. The flag raising was captured by the AP photographer Joe Rosenthal and quickly became the stuff of legend. It was in books, film, all over the place. Really helped raise war bonds. These guys went on tours. And three of the men identified in the photo died on Iwo Jima. Three others became celebrities traveling the country to support the war effort. Rene Gagnon, Ira Hayes, and John Bradley also had cameo roles in the 1949 Oscar-nominated films Sands of Iwo Jima, starring John Wayne. They also posed for sculptor Felix de Weldon, who created the U.S. Marine Corps War Memorial, more commonly known as the Iwo Jima Memorial, outside the Arlington National Cemetery. Have you guys been to see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Yeah.
We used to, whenever you finish up a staff NCO course or sergeant's course at Quantico, you start this big run that you go through DC and it's like the war memorials. So, and it's like the most motivating thing I've probably ever done outside of like a battlefield. So you run through it, you stop at like the Korean War Memorial, Vietnam, and then you end up at Iwo Jima. And they talk about the legacy of being a Marine leader and what it means. And you're just standing there and like in front of this huge statue. And you're just like, motherfucker, I'm so motivated right now.
Right.
That's a really great tradition.
Such an incredible scene. And the photo, I think everybody knows by now, the photo that Joe Rosenthal took actually depicts the second raising of the flag on Iwo Jima's Mount Suribachi that day. The first flag was smaller and Marines wanted a bigger flag so that the sailors and Marines below could see it and feel motivated. And that's where Gagnon, a runner, came in, according to the Corps. They said it was Gagnon who ran down the hill to get the larger flag that would appear in the photograph and Gagnon who brought the smaller flag back down the hill. Both flags are displayed.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Because we've all been in places that are chaotic. Imagine being him in that moment. You're not thinking that we are at Iwo Jima, like this is going to be a historical moment. You're thinking we just finished fighting an unbelievably difficult battle over the course of several days where tens of thousands of people were injured or killed. And then you get to the top, you raise the flag, signifying the fact that you've won the battle. And then one of your leaders says, go back down, get a bigger flag. We got to take a better picture. You'd
and
be
run.
Like, what in the fuck are you talking about?
You gotta be kidding
about?
Me.
And it was still, there was still fighting
fuck
going
that
on.
Fuck that AP reporter. Fuck that bitch. Tell his dumbass to run down there.
There was still fighting and stuff going on when they raised those flags. There was still shit going
right.
down. But they said, so that part is true. Gagnon did do that. He ran down the hill and ran back up with the bigger flag for them. And the Corps says he still played a significant role in the flag raising on Mount Suribachi and that his role will never be diminished. He was directly responsible for getting that second flag. Without his efforts, that whole thing might have never taken place in the first place. And it's not the first time that Marines have corrected the identities of the men who raised the flag during that battle on February 23rd, 1945. This part from the book I remember very well. This was John Bradley's son James wrote a best-selling book about the events of that day, Flags of Our Fathers, which was made into a film by Clint Eastwood in 2006. But in 2016, the Corps announced that it was actually Marine Corps Private First Class Harold Schultz from Detroit, Michigan, in the famous photograph. Bradley, a Navy pharmacist mate, had been involved in the initial flag raising hours before. So the guy who wrote the book Flags of Our Fathers, even his own father was not in the photograph like he had thought he had been. He had been in the initial one. Gagnon remembers wondering how James Bradley felt in 2016 when he learned that his father was not one of the flag raisers in the photo, that the account in his book was not accurate. And now, the son says of Gagnon, I find myself in the same predicament. Dad, you brought the flag up, somebody raised it, and somebody took a picture of it. You did not lift that flag off the ground. You brought it up. Why didn't you tell me? I mean,
that is just gutting, man.
Yeah.
Like, because that's you. That's who he knew his father as. Like, that is the that'd be like finding out Dale Earnhardt Jr. finding out that his dad is not the Intimidator. Like, that he was some other, like, nobody.
I'm curious as to why it was even looked into all these years later, why it was investigated that, oh, now we have this technology. Let's double check on that Iwo Jima picture just to make sure we have all the right people.
I don't know. I think in the book, when there was one family that kept looking at the photo, I think it was Harlan Block or something like that, and the mom back home, he had died on Iwo Jima and going, I know that's my son. Mm-hmm. I know that's my son. I know that profile more than... So I think it matters
to
families.
Absolutely. I think it's important. And I understand back then, I don't know why, if something was already put to rest and it was decided that these were the men, why somebody would then go back again to triple and quadruple check it.
I think
the accuracy of history is important. I think that I don't know how much that changes anything at all. It certainly changes something for the families who were there. Like if your granddad was one of the ones that did that, you would want that news to come out for sure.
100%. 100%. I understand that. I just don't know how we would get to that point. And then secondly,
it is strange that not only once but twice that they've had to go through.
And I was reading more about this story, and it talked about how Gagnon, there was obviously he was a very good-looking guy, so they thought, all right, we want to promote this guy. And you're a young Marine. You're given an order. You're not going to stand up and say, like, oh, wait, sorry, I'm not going to go do that. You're going to say, okay, Roger, and carry on with that mission.
You actually raise the flag, but you have like a weird buck tooth, and they're we'll take Eggman.
Yeah.
We'll send him on the war bonds tour.
Yeah.
Right.
But part of it was, according to some stories, that these guys were kind of told by the Marine Corps after the after the photo came out, you guys go do the War Bonds tour. You guys are the flat, like, so they kind of were like, Marines do what we're told. We just exactly went with it. So
kind of tough for him too, I'd imagine. To live with that, knowing that wasn't you in that photo.
And the amount of attention that they were getting, even in your own self, like, it would be difficult if you were getting all this attention for being one of the flag raisers, and then you're like on one of these tours, be like, actually, I had just ran down like the hill to get it, and my sergeant had told me to, and I did that. But I was on the initial one, but I just really was. You're not going to do that.
No, you're not going to say all that. Not. You're going to just internalize that. But then I would just imagine there had to be some level of guilt that he carried with him the rest of his life. Obviously, when he said he kind of avoided conversations about it, didn't even want to talk about it. So it's kind of tough for him.
That's interesting, the whole thing.
No doubt. Let's move on to round three.
All right, round number three comes to us from our Twitter friend at the Franco Turk. And the quote under the picture just says, found on the latrine in the Baltics. And the piece of paper on the latrine reads, to whoever keeps destroying this toilet, you have free healthcare. Go see a doctor. And if not a doctor, maybe an exorcist.
Ooh-wee. I love this kind of shit. Because can you imagine how bad this military bathroom has to be for somebody to say enough is enough?
Yes.
Because if you walk in any given day to any base's gym, any barracks, like communal gym or bathroom at all, you are going to be grossed out. So for it to have to go above and beyond normal levels of gross is just, I can't even imagine what that would look like.
I believe this is a salty gunny who's taking the dumps. I believe that he is a smoker, heavy on energy drinks.
Oh, you're picking out the one who actually took this shit.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Goes in there with his sleeves gunny rolled, newspaper, Marine Corps Times under his arm. He's ready to settle in. He doesn't give a fuck.
Settle in and get comfortable.
No, he probably has that new order like, fucking umbrellas. What the hell is this?
Right. This guy is salty. He's been around the block. His bowels are a little bit older, a little more grizzled, and he just doesn't care. He is just going to town. Something is wrong with him. He should go to a – something is wrong.
But there's a lot of context clues in this note that we need to take care of because, one, it says that he's in the Baltics. And I think, like, whenever you go to a completely different culinary scene, you're excused for a lot of grievances. Would you agree?
Indeed.
Cons, like, you've been to Mexico. I'm sure you weren't kind to the toilets in Mexico while you were there.
I was not. I will hand up. I will admit I was not. Although I don't know that I'm very kind to many toilets.
And people don't realize in the Baltics, you're eating a lot of beaver, a lot of pickles. Beaver
well, this
pickles.
Is this is what I wanted to get into I think I have figured out the menu that was creating this disgusting scene that was in there. First of all, he's coming in after a long day exploring the Baltic regions of Latvia. Like, he's going and hanging out there. And what did he have for lunch? He had beet soup. It's a shockingly pink soup that will catch your attention on any trip to the Baltics. Mm. It's related to the borscht, which, as you know, is a cold soup made with beets and cucumbers, and also incorporates buttermilk, sour cream, hard-boiled eggs, and tons of dill.
Just a nasty combo.
Yep.
It's refreshing and packed with strong flavor, and while it's popular in Latvia, the soup also seems appears everywhere throughout Lithuania and is known as Salterbakia, which sounds lovely. And if not for that, later on that evening, I believed our good friends went with jelly meat. Jelly meat.
Course.
Did you ever have any jelly meat cake?
Gunny crushing the jelly meat, for sure.
Just taking a little pork jelly and putting it on some bread.
A milk but steak.
I found a book that's called Estonia. And Kate, I would like you to pick the accent of your choosing and read a little bit of what the culinary delights are like in Estonia.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, cold pork is a huge favorite with them. Uh-oh, that's not the Baltics, is it?
I don't think so, but keep going.
Da, cold pork. I begin to feel those two words summed up by my aversion to the Baltics. But pork at any temperature is favorite. And Estonian consumes a shit ton of meat per person per year, half of which is pork. They devour knobs of the pure fat. I once mistaken brought a roll of meat ruby roll, which looked good at the shop, but which turned out to nothing but raw rub of indelible fat. Bah.
That's my
Are you a sheep there?
That's my Baltic grandmother voice.
Okay.
That's pretty
so
good.
Yeah, I think that if you're in the Baltic region, you're in Estonia, you have zero choice but to absolutely pepper the back of any toilet that you went. So I would actually shame the young sergeant, I assume, who put this note up, because he is toilet shaming a gunny who has provided a lifetime of service to the military.
Indeed. Yes. Please leave him alone.
Please let him poop in peace.
Also, right. in this meat thing you put in here, there's this one thing that says, are you surprised that the name for ham in the Baltics is sink? And that reminded me of that wacky-ass barracks roommate I had once who would close the sink and then fill it with Dr. Pepper and then marinate meat in our barracks room sink.
I also like how the person who's describing this is, why would you go to Estonia to eat? And she said, who eats this stuff and why? To fight the cold in the winter? To stave off cutting winds? To extirpate past sins? To save money? I have no shame in confessing that the preference flying in the face of Acts 10:15. I would rather head to the seaside and gnaw tiny barnacles off of a wet rock.
Yeah, that's how tough the food is. So
very
you're
well
right.
described.
Very. We exonerate this who we believe is a salty gunny taking these huge dumps in the Baltics. Godspeed.
Indeed we do. All right, let's move on to round four.
Round number four comes to us from military.com. New story is out. Navy personnel will be allowed to wear false eyelashes, nail polish, and makeup under new gender-neutral guidelines.
Oh, so the dudes will be able to
do
that as well.
This is for the males as well.
All right.
The fresh changes will come when the New Zealand Defense Force updates its grooming and appearance guidelines to make the force more inclusive. These updates are to reflect that the RNZN make no distinction between male and female members in terms of their personal grooming and appearance, Chief of Navy Rear Admiral David Proctor confirmed. The changes will come into effect on November 1st, giving all Navy personnel the right to wear subtle makeup, clear or lightly colored nail polish, trimmed, neat, and natural fake eyelashes, and one pair of natural colored stud earrings. They will also be permitted to wear perfume or cologne, rings on a maximum of two fingers, and use natural colored hair dye or buns or single plaits. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Now, how do we feel about that, Kate?
I think this is one of those things that will make big news and people will be like, oh, you see what's happening. When in reality, maybe a handful, if that's their thing, will do it. And it's not that big a deal. It won't affect readiness or any of the other buzzwords people love. And I feel like
lethality.
If it brings more talented people into the force, then fuck it. Why not? You do you.
I'm surprised they didn't go the other way. I'm surprised that they just didn't say nobody can wear makeup, nobody can wear fingernail polish, nobody can wear perfume or cologne. Like, to me, that makes more sense for, like, a uniformity thing. Like, to just be like, you're not wearing makeup in uniform.
But
because it'll get dicey and people will try to skirt the rules and then it becomes subjective. Whereas with chaps, it's black and white. No, you can't wear makeup.
But again, I don't think it will actually really be that big of a problem. And I also think that these days, trying to get people to join the armed services with people so tightly holding onto their individuality and wanting to show a little bit of that, like, I feel like if you want to bring in new personnel, having that kind of rule would maybe make it tougher for people to want to join. I don't know.
For Chaps's point, it's easier to police.
For sure.
To your point, I agree. I don't ultimately think this is going to affect many people.
No.
I'll speak for myself. If I was in the Army and they said, hey, you can wear makeup now, I would have said, cool, still not going to. Thanks, and move on my way.
I don't know, dude. If there's those times when you're going to like a ball, like a military ball, and you happen to have a big-ass zit. My friends, I'm dealing with a zit right now. If I had to go to the Marine Corps ball and my wife is looking great, I'm out there with a big old white head zit, and I was allowed to wear a little foundation to cover it up, I might would take advantage of that.
No, definitely.
I was reading, too, like, it's not just for, I think people have a stereotype in mind when they think about men.
Fake eyelashes should not be allowed, period.
Period. I wore them on Thursday night, and they still look like two spiders stuck to my wall. I peeled them off in the middle of the night. I was like, ugh. But the male makeup business for this new generation, they said, for men, $1.14 billion is the estimated value of global men's makeup in 2019. Hmm. So
interesting.
1.1
I bet it'll
billion.
Be more. I mean, Kylie Jenner is worth $1 billion itself. Once it becomes socially acceptable, you don't think dudes sitting there, like, imagine, Cons, how many times when you were a young whippersnapper growing up in middle school and high school, did you have like a little breakout and you were like, oh man, I don't want to go out today
oh,
because
gosh.
I have a little
all
bit
the,
of a...
All the time. I would get acne pimples all the time. And if I could have worn makeup, that probably would have helped my self-esteem.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be. The nails, neat and natural, you probably wouldn't even be able to tell. The lashes, you know what? You want to have those lashes pop? You do you.
I disagree. I think that that's the one. I think that you have to have some sort of military bearing. I don't think women or men should be able to have fucking fake eyelashes in uniform. To me, that's disgusting.
Oh, like, I used to get very judgy uniform. And salty when, because in the Marine Corps, women can still have very small ones, but fake tips. You can still have like French nails kind of. And I used to see that and be like, what the fuck did you join the Marine Corps for?
But not
like,
in camis. They weren't supposed to.
What?
That was a violation if it was in camis. I think it's a little bit different if you're talking about service or dress blues or something like that. But the cami uniform, wearing fucking heavy makeup, I was always like,
what are you doing?
But why are you doing that?
Right.
At the same time, if you're in a job where you're not, it's like, we can pretend like we're all like infantry every day, but like if you're in a job where like, let's be real, I sit in a cubicle every day and I do finance. Like,
I will say,
whatever makes you happy.
The few times in my life where I've had makeup done for a variety of reasons, you leave and you're like, all right, I get this.
I get it,
girls.
You get it, dude.
Yeah, it's like, wow, I look significantly different. I would go so far as to say a lot better.
Dude, Brent, tell him how disappointed I was when I went on Cat Show on Fox News and I wasn't out. They said, oh, we'll send you back to makeup. I was excited, right?
The makeup lady was terrified of his eye.
it was in the height of my eye shit. And so that's probably why. But I sit down and she like maybe put the little sponge thing over my cheekbones like twice.
Right. She's like, you're good. Right, you're don't need go. Any.
Like, are you fucking serious? I'm not good.
Well, I'm interested to see. I don't think this will be a thing.
No.
I think it'll be more of a thing for people online being like, well, when I was in the New Zealand Navy. Anyway, I get my accents
black
all
like
wrong.
Like a dog's eyes.
I remember when my lashes were black, like a dollar's lashes.
All right, let's move on to round number 5, which is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Movember. Now, Movember, you're not going to know if you're like actually out there for prostate stuff or if you're dealing with Gardner Minshew fever, which a lot of people are.
Huge.
I hope that he rolls one and the two together. I think that would be beautiful. Mm-hmm. Movember, if you're not familiar, they are raising a shit ton of money for cancer research and all kinds of other different research, too. You can join us on our team at the Barstool Movember team and help us change the face of men's health. For every $50 that you fundraise on our team, you'll get an entry to win a trip for two to join us at the Army-Navy Live College Football Show in December. That was a great time. We set up that big-ass tailgate last year for the first time. We've been there, I think, 3 years in a row. But we're going to have another big event, and if you join this contest, you have a chance to join us. Just go to Movember.com/Barstool to join the team, grow your mustache, and fundraise for your chance to win the prize. So it's a pretty good deal. And if you get their shirts and their testicle soap, all of it is beautiful.
I got to tell you, I've been loving seeing posts online. People are getting that testicle soap. I think your girlfriend was like, what the hell is this?
I sent a picture, I screenshotted our text conversation I sent to you guys. She goes, excuse me, what is this? And I says, that's a penis and testicle soap.
Indeed.
Just to remind me, check them out.
Super, something super fun to get. Put it in your shower, have people laugh. I love it. I think it's great.
And if you go, just hit us up too on ZBT. We want to see the best mustache because that's been a tradition for a long time, is to have really shitty mustache in the military.
Oh, yeah.
So just tweet us at your picture of your mustache that you're growing out for Movember and just use the hashtag Mo so we can get some of those. We'll put some of them on our Instagram as well. Do that.
I want to do it. Movember.com/Barstool. I want to
do it. Oh, I thought you were already participating.
Military. Oh. I did get it waxed 2 weeks ago. I did. I got it waxed. I hit the age. Oh. I'll grow it out. But yeah, send me your mustaches. I'll judge them.
I had a soldier. He was younger. He was on a PFC, so he's, I don't know, he's probably like 19, 18 even, and he was trying to grow a mustache, and when you're that age, for some guys, you just can't do it. And I remember one time my platoon sergeant just sent him back to the barracks. He goes, you go shave that fucking thing because you look like you drive around on the weekends asking kids to get in your van for free candy.
Yeah, it's not great. They did.
Not great at all.
I'm sorry. You sent me on a mustache tangent here. We used to call them catfish mustaches.
Yep.
That had just, it was like three long hairs on either side of the lip. You're like, what are you doing? Why? But anyway.
But if you're one of those dudes who can pull it off, or ladies.
Oh, man. For sure.
You look hot as shit. There's people like, I've never seen people, I'll say it, come themselves. Like that one fella on Stranger Things with the mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, he's hot. I'm like, that guy?
Hot patooties.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to round five. Round number five. This one comes to us from Defense News. In 2014, 60 Minutes made a famous 8-inch floppy disk used by the antiquated Air Force computer system that in a crisis could receive an order from the president to launch nuclear missiles from silos across the United States. I actually remember this. I remember seeing...
Yeah.
When the story came out, and it's not just like a floppy disk, it's a huge floppy disk.
Yeah, like orange. And that when that episode came out in 2014, everybody was like, "We're using floppy disks for our nukes in 2014." Like people freaked out about it.
And I don't even know how you do it because you remember floppy disks. Even if you're writing a story, I don't even remember using floppy disks, and I'm fucking 37
oh,
years old.
I
mean, just remember at school, like in having like Oregon Trail on it or whatever. But that's about
Carmen Sandiego. I used to play Carmen Sandiego on a floppy disk. That's how old
Carmen Sandiego is back on Netflix, and it fucking sucks.
That's too bad.
Forget it.
That was a great show.
Well, see, sometimes the floppy disk version is all right. So what's more to this story? Could it be a good thing?
Yeah, so people were freaking out about it, and they said the Air Force said that they were going to update it. Well, like normal military shit, it took a long time to update it because some of their major leaders, like there's a colonel named Rossi, she said, I joke with people and say it's the Air Force's oldest IT system, but it's the age that provides that security. And listen to this line. I thought this line was absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. They say, you can't hack something that doesn't have an IP address. It's a very unique system. It's so old, but it's still very, very good.
That makes all the sense in the world.
If it's
handheld,
if it's just right there, it's not in a cloud that can be hacked into. It's like physically, you just got to protect the flop.
Yeah, because I think, going back to whenever this was created back in the 70s or 60s, whatever, technology has only improved in people. More people out there, I think, are hackers more so than ever. So you just have more of a liability out there if you're out there on the cloud and the web and all these other things that we don't fully understand.
Also,
they did. Go ahead.
Sorry, just worth mentioning really quick, the command that controls the nukes technology is their acronym is SACS. Makes me laugh. Sorry.
That is a good one.
Sorry.
But SACS did say that they were going to update the data storage solutions, port expansion processors, whisker do, whisker don't, portable terminals.
With or without the scooter stick.
With or without scooter sticks and the desktop terminals by the end of fiscal year 2017. But it's unclear whether those upgrades have actually occurred.
Oh,
this is one thing that I find interesting too, because you have this amazing system. Now, whenever you have a system with cybersecurity now, you think of all these different nerds that are going there, they're typing shit up, they're typing their little code, like typing their code. These folks aren't doing that when they have to fix something. They're going in there with soldering irons
right.
and having to fix like actual electronic components.
Read that line about the guys who have worked there forever. I have guys in here who have circuits, diodes, and resistors memorized. They use technical order to make sure they're right, but these guys have been doing this job for so long that when the parts come in, they can tell you what's wrong just based on a fault code. That's the level of expertise it's hard to replace. It's not sexy work. It's soldering irons and miniature microscopes. So these people who have been working with this stuff for so long, they're like, oh, that's an 102.4578. This is how they all talk, by the way. They are robot people.
And when I looked at the pictures of where they're doing this at, it looks like, do you remember whenever Chernobyl came out, that documentary? Did you guys watch that?
Oh, yeah.
And how everything is like in this mint color blue, where yes. that was really popular in the 70s. Nothing in any of these rooms have changed at all. When they pull out this floppy disk, it's from the back of the computer, and it just flops about, and that's where the nuclear codes are. It's crazy. That
that's pretty
something
cool,
that can destroy an entire city is operated by that.
Like, they all pull up to work in, like, 1970s Vista Cruiser station wagons. They all, like, they like all have they rotary
stay in
phones.
The 70s, yeah.
They, like, don't.
All aspects
but
of
it
their
did
life.
Make me nervous considering what's going on with Turkey, because the President Trump, for the first time in U.S. history, confirmed that we had nuclear weapons at different bases across the, across Europe, one of which he said very specifically was in Turkey.
Awesome.
This isn't something that you can remotely take offline.
Mm.
Like, so, you can't – if you have it in a different country, you can't take it offline either.
Yeah,
like
what
you
do you mean?
From here, you have to go there physically and disable it in person.
So if that group were going rogue, we're losing our marbles, let's do it, they like they could just do whatever the fuck they wanted?
I guess so. I
don't
know.
This is a freaky world.
I bet this one might get us the most feedback of any story we've had in a long time. There is going to be so many nuclear brothers and sisters that get into our emails and be like, actually, you guys are totally wrong about nuclears.
Well, please
first of
tell
all,
us.
Shut the fuck up. Like, come
that's,
on.
They
well,
was...
what do you guys care? It all comes to my email anyway.
Yeah. If you have any issues about what we just said, cons at barstoolsports.com. He will get back to you. But we're not, I mean, we're not experts about this stuff. That's the way that the article presents it. And we believe it to be 100% true.
Literally in my mind after this story, I'm picturing like seven different floppy disks around the world. And if you put the floppy in the computer, nukes start flying. That's how I, this is, that's what I got from this story. So I think that's the way it is.
Instead of like the died of dysentery on Oregon Trail, it's like, oop, we had. Seattle died of nuclear weapon.
Some poor guy in this office is trying to play Carmen Sandiego, but puts the wrong floppy disk in instead. He's like, oh, there goes.
Whoa, what about the math rocket one? Do you guys
yes.
remember that?
Oh, yes, that was
math
so good.
Rocket.
That was so good. That was
Dude,
a great
when you,
game.
When you got to move up where you were doing addition of three, like of in the hundreds, and the closer you get, the rocket gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep.
And once you finally get it, it like, takes off. It's like, you're a math rocket god. Like,
to the moon. To the moon.
That was those were the simpler times, better times, some would say. I loved it.
Way better game than fucking God of War. Way
yeah.
better
yeah.
game.
What about this might have come after. This might have been CD-ROMs, but did you guys play Gizmos and Gadgets? No? Just me? Devlin did.
Not sure.
All yeah.
Right.
Huh.
All right. Okay.
What a loser.
Any save rounds alibis?
For me?
For me.
No, I'm still getting ripped at the gym. Still,
that's awesome.
Nice.
Still just being awesome.
It's good
what
that you're
say?
Sticking with it. And it shows because thank you to the Headstrong organization for having Kate and I at their gala on Thursday night. And I say that because, Kate, you looked unbelievable.
Ton
and
of
it
makeup.
Shows that you've been going to the gym.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ton of makeup. Also, can I tell you guys something kind of shameful?
Do you want to do a bingo flab update?
Oh, I still got them bad. Hold on.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Marine Corps. I'm fucking gross. Don't be like me ever. Anyway, I at the gala had a couple glasses of wine.
Well, in your defense, let me just say credit to the staff working that event because every time you took like one sip of your wine, somebody was right there pouring you more.
Well,
it was unbelievable. It was a never-ending glass of wine.
But our table, we were having fun with our table. They happened to be Barstool fans. And they were from Boston, the Loki bracelets
yep.
that Kyle Carpenter was wearing. They were all there. They sent us a bunch, by the way. Really nice. No free ads, but they're a delight. They're very cool bracelets. But they were like, it was came to the portion of where you raise the paddle. What do you call that?
The paddle.
No. What do you call that?
Oh, auction?
An auction.
Yeah.
It was an auction.
It was a live auction.
They're auctioning all this stuff off. And our table gets on the topic of, they're like, because I had a paddle. It was 69. And they're like, Kate, you got to raise your paddle. You got to raise your paddle. I was like, well, I don't have $1,000. So one of us, I don't remember who started, was like, well, see if Dave will let us be like Barstool Sports and like put $1,000 out. So for maybe texted Dave.
Yeah, you definitely did.
What
I was
happened?
Like,
this
I was
is the
like,
first I'm hearing of this.
And
oh,
was
God.
Like,
what happened?
It was like, hey, can I raise a paddle for $1,000 for Barstool Sports? It says... My paddle has a 69 on it. We think it'd be a hoot.
Oh,
as
God.
Soon as I sent it, I immediately wrote back. I was like, JK, LOL, Barstool does a ton for the troops. Love you guys. Bye. Like, it was like something like that. And yeah, so
did he write back?
No, but I passed him in the hall. He was like, "Have fun on Thursday." I was like, "Oh, 69." So that was cool. So yeah, good times all around. My face is like bright red telling this story. It was like, yeah, as a joke. I was showing the table. I had the text up, and I was like, not really going to send it. And then I went to broop, and it went. And I was like, oh,
good time. Another stuff. Super smooth interaction of Kate with her boss.
Yeah, so that was cool. And then I did. I donated on my own. It's like,
that was fantastic. Because
then the table was watching.
Well, yeah, because you have been drinking. You have been drinking too. Like, yeah, Kate's so generous whenever she's been drinking. Like, oh, I have a bartender that I need to tip. Here's $500.
Yep. There's been times you guys have looked over my shoulders and been like, move that decimal to the left a little bit. Jesus.
Yeah. Last thing, Kate was eating a muffin before we started recording. And I would just like to say, I think Otis Spunkmeyer muffins got a bad rap in the military.
No, they didn't.
Don't you fucking dare.
Don't.
Oh, I was going to say, I loved them.
Get out of here. We have, sometimes they get them here.
I loved Otis Spunkmeyer
muffins. I threw some
away.
Kate, I swear to God, when I was in there last week, there were some of the chocolate ones. I took them and put them immediately in the trash.
Thank you. They don't even taste like chocolate. Cons.
Bologna. They are delicious.
The chocolate, even with the chocolate chips, you're tasting, you're like, this. There's no chocolate in this dark
there's
chocolate.
There's no flavor at all.
There's no flavor. It whatever. Tastes like cardboard, whatever one you open.
Whatever.
Fuck yeah. Otis Spunkmeyer. Unless they want to sponsor the pod, then
right,
we'll delete this.
Of course.
Later.
For sure.
Yeah. No doubt. Brad, you got anything?
Not really. I don't know. I'm just a little disappointed in everybody.
Why?
All my Yankees players, all my comrades who just so vigorously rooted against me. That kind of hurt.
I did. Honestly, took it personal
a little bit.
He threw his glasses and his portholes, pardon me, across the floor, and I was going to.
Brent was super triggered on Twitter too.
I wonder why.
No, people deserved. The people were being dickheads on Twitter. But I did, like, it was fun.
Something I would have never seen if it was not quote tweeted by you.
Oh, no.
Can we fill me in? I didn't see it.
Well.
Some guy made a very ugly and untrue, I might add, comment about Brent's hairline. And I just quote tweeted and said, this is not going to be tolerated. We're not
going to
be. Oh. Brent has a great hairline.
Which
sorry
is also not
loss.
True, but I mean, it's fine.
Well, how are you? How are you feeling overall? Maybe about next season.
We don't need to talk about the Yankees.
All right,
this is a military podcast.
All right, sound the retreat.